everybody. It's Derek from Small Bites. Americans have spoken, and it's no surprise, we love cheese. According to a national survey, grilled cheese, mac and cheese, and pizza are just a few of Americans' top 10 comfort food dishes. No surprise there, huh? So what could be better than to mash up some of the top favorites? Thanks to Sara Lee Brid, food expert, author, and co-host of The Kitchen on the Food Network and host of Beach Bites on the Cooking Channel, Katie Lee joins us to share results from that survey and ways to combine a great grilled cheese with some other amazing flavors to create something epic. Hello there, Katie.
Hey there. How you doing?
Oh, we are doing great. Now, Katie, you can tell us the truth. Do you get a lifetime supply of Sara Lee as a birthright with your last name being Lee?
You know, it's funny you say that. Remember the jingle, the nobody does it like Sara Lee? And when I was in high school, my friends used to say that to me. Nobody does it like Katie Lee.
Well, there could be certainly worse jingles than that. But my last name's Tim, so I got the tiny Tim. I think I'd much rather do we can't do better than. So let's get serious. And in this survey, we're split down the middle on preferring sweet versus savory as our favorite comfort food. So in a way, food mimics politics. We could call the left-leaning half as sweet and the right-leaning side half as savory. Tell us about the survey, and how about the independent voters, huh?
Well, I'm going to steer clear of politics. I'm just going to stick with cheese. You know, it's funny because you always hear you're either savory or sweet. And this survey really did show that because it was down the middle, 50-50, actually. But two-thirds of the people who participated said that comfort food needs to be ooey-gooey. And I definitely agree with that. You know, I'm all about the cheese. I'm also all about the carbs. So, you know, it's no surprise one of the top 10 comfort foods was grilled cheese.
And who just doesn't like to say ooey-gooey?
I know.
That's just the perfect statement. Now, Katie, as a chef, what would you say is the number one tip for making the perfect grilled cheese at home? And don't say if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Well, I'm all for sharing my recipe secrets. I think you got to start with a good melting cheese. So get something like American cheese, provolone cheese, fontina, Gruyere. Those are all going to give you that good cheese pull effect. And then you got to have good bread. So I really like the Sara Lee Artisano bread because it's a thick slice and it's got a soft, fluffy texture. And then for me, a must is softened butter. So let your butter sit out and get to room temperature. I actually leave a little bit on my counter at all times because when you spread it on the bread, you want it to go on nice and smoothly. You know, if the butter's hard, it kind of tears up your bread.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Now, the survey also confirmed just how comforting comfort food really is for us. Tell us, why is that?
Yeah, you know, I think that people are so busy now. You know, you're working hard, you're taking kids to practice, you've got all these commitments, so you're running around. And when you get home at the end of the day, to have something comforting that makes you feel good is so important. And, you know, grilled cheese is something you can make quickly, and you can get creative with it. You know, I've got a few different recipes. One is for a burger grilled cheese, where it's essentially a grilled cheese with a burger tucked inside of it. For the sweet tooth folks, I've got a chocolate hazelnut spread cream cheese strawberry grilled cheese that is pretty awesome, if I do say so myself. And then the number one comfort food in the survey was a pizza grilled cheese. So I decided to do a pizza grilled cheese mashup. So that has provolone, mozzarella, pepperoni, caramelized onions, and some chopped banana peppers, as well as a little marinara sauce.
Oh, my goodness. I'd love to talk all day, but you've got me so hungry. I've got to run away and go get something to eat now. I really thanks so much for chatting.
I flung a craving on you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much for chatting with Small Bites. It's really been a pleasure talking to you. But before we let you go, where can our listeners get additional information?
Well, you can get all the recipes I mentioned at SaraLeeBread.com.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much, and we look forward to talking to you again next time.
Thank Sara you. Lee. Have a good one.
Katie Lee. See, I'm saying Sara Lee now. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to Small Bites with Glenn Gross and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Spaghetti you can eat with a spoon.
Oh,
SpaghettiOs.
Hit it.
Where's the
beef? Cookie.
He likes it.
Nothing for you. Nothing for you. Nothing for you.
Feed me more.
Long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and dogs. My name's Glenn Gross. I own Fat Jack's Barbecue and Fat Jack's Chicken and Biscuits in Philly and New York. And this is Small Bites on Wildfire Radio. And I walked into the studio and I just kind of took a whiff. And it wasn't you, Derek, by the way. I smelled curry. And lo and behold, I was right. Wasn't I?
For once.
You're such a putz. Anyway, the guy that just interrupted my speech, his name is
Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. And how fun was that little segment with Chef Katie Lee, co-host of the Emmy-nominated Food Network show, The Kitchen and Cooking Channel's Beach Bites with Katie Lee, talking about National Grilled Cheese Month presented by Sara Lee.
She was a lot better than you in that interview, by the way.
Aren't most of our guests?
Yes, they are.
The entire show?
Did you get her name? Well, you couldn't screw up the name.
No, he did.
Did he screw it up?
I did at the very end.
Oh, my God.
He called her Sarah.
Kate, how do you get Katie Lee wrong?
Because I called her Sarah Lee at the end.
You don't get John Smith right.
Well, and usually I don't get John Howard Fusco right.
No, that's right. After how many years?
Either. But talking about John Howard Fusco, we have Barbie Marshall online with us.
Hopefully.
Yeah, there she goes. And she is the most influential chef in Pennsylvania, as named by Cooking Light magazine. And she's going to fill us in some hot happenings that's been going on since we haven't been here for 2 weeks.
Well, it was a lot of hot happenings going on. I went to West Sonoma Coast meeting of the vintners and got to try a lot of different Pinots and Chardonnays from the West Sonoma Coast, which were great, from vineyards like Ernest Vineyards, Hirsch, Alma Freda, Sarita's, so Joseph Phelps, all delicious, just wonderful, wonderful wines that are going to be available and are available in some restaurants and wine and spirits between Philadelphia and New Jersey. But we weren't here for 2 weeks, so we had a lot of stuff going on. We had the Philly Margarita Rumble yesterday at the...
You ready to rumble?
No.
And it was absolutely an array of margaritas that were just simply wonderful, from Mad Rex, from Copacabana, Bonita from an Ardmore, like just so many different selections. And Gunner's Run did one. It was just a nice time to be had on such a beautiful day. And then today, on the Avenue in East Passyunk, where everyone just opens up, and for $3 to $8, you can get such wonderful, like, tastings of what has to be offered. You know, Red Crest Fried Chicken is doing their sliders. Mama Maria's is doing their pasta primavera, which is cooked perfectly al dente, and just such a sweet woman that just Mama Maria's just to die for. Stogie Joe's has their pizza. Just so much hopsing. I have a booze on the brain, but that's not my segment. Dim Sum Noodle, they're involved also. So, yeah, check out East Passyunk. That's still going on right now, actually.
There you go. Always so much going on, and you are always in the know.
She's such a wealth of knowledge, isn't she?
She is. She is. And we always appreciate her going out and about. We always get high praise for Barbie Marshall covering events. Oh, that Glenn's clapping for you, Chef Barbie.
Thank you so much.
Hey, look, it's okay.
And why don't you give your social medias before you go?
You can find me at SethBarbie.com, at Barbie Marshall on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And that's pretty much it for me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chef Barbie. We'll talk to you again next week. And that was Chef Christina throwing in a hi, Barbie, before you went.
Hey, Chef Christina, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, miss you.
So, but this week, oh man, as Glenn was mentioning, the aroma just surrounded.
So I have a question for you, actually. Do you think, since you did that grilled cheese segment, do you think that we can make grilled cheese out of what she brought in?
I'm sure.
I bet you we could.
I'm sure you could spice it up, but yeah. The perfect person to talk to about that would be, let's see if I get this name right. I'm usually
over. There's no way.
Chetna Makwan?
Absolutely.
Is that right?
That's perfect. That was perfect.
Everybody, round of applause for Derek.
She is the founder of Spice Culture Blog, an Indian cooking instructor and award-winning chef for her butter chicken, where she recently won second place at a cooking challenge at Rowan University. How about that, Chef Christina?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That was this past January that you were in the contest?
Absolutely. So Rowan University has a hot sauce that's sponsored by the president of Rowan. And I believe he uses the hot sauce to really collect proceeds for scholarships. So he has a big challenge. So I'd never been in any food challenge before. And this was just something that I thought I'd try out. And so I went in there. And the whole point of the whole point of the contest was to use a specific hot sauce in any type of dish you wanted. So I'm thinking, what should I make? And I said, well, let me try something with butter chicken. And usually I'll use fresh chilies and fresh peppers. And this time I had to use the hot sauce, the Tabasco. So it was definitely an interesting interesting thing to do, but it actually worked out.
And you won what?
And I won second place. And I was really proud of it. You know, it was funny because when they called my name, since I never win anything, I was kind of looking around for Chetna. And then I was like, wait a second, it's me. And I went in there like a little kid. I was like, yes, yay, I won. So it was just really cool. I'm really, really excited. And I'm looking forward to it next year.
You said that,
Definitely,
that you use normally peppers and chilies and so what kind?
Yes. So this one I tried to for studio is serrano chilies or jalapenos. Sometimes I use long hots. I just like more heat if I'm looking for more heat as well.
I got you.
For a medium heat, I will use serrano just because it's more manageable for the palate.
But Tabasco is not usually in Indian cooking.
It's not.
No. You had to improvise.
Right. I definitely had to improvise. So it was a challenge to try to get that sweet and heat and salty taste in there. Specifically with that hot sauce, but it worked out, and I'm really, really happy about it. It was fun.
Did you, what am I trying to say? I forgot what I was going to say.
Because that's because he ate the lentils.
Did you read Glenn's mind of what he wanted to ask you?
He said he's never had lentils before.
That's true, actually.
He doesn't eat anything vegetarian, vegetables.
And you've never competed before, right?
No, I haven't.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. So did you? Like, I know what I wanted to ask. Hold on, stop.
Yes.
I know what I wanted to ask. Did you have any, before you got into the contest, did you have any advance warning of what you thought you were going to make? Or did you just really have to do it on the fly when you got there? Or were you able to practice a little bit before you got there?
I was able to make the dish ahead of time.
Oh, okay.
To kind of see how it would taste. Mm-hmm. So I knew exactly what I was going to do at that point.
The butter chicken, is it dark meat or white meat?
I use chicken thighs.
Oh, okay. So it's dark meat.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very cool. You can taste it.
I just feel like with chicken thighs, you can cook it for a long time.
Yeah,
it still
absolutely
retains its tenderness, and just it absorbs the sauce much more.
It's fattier.
It's a little fattier. It really does stay better, and it's juicier.
I agree.
It really does.
So it was fun. I'm excited.
And now you also have a blog, right?
So I do.
What inspired you to start your blog?
So my mom loved to cook, and I'd always tell her years ago, you know, you should write down your recipes and figure out how to do it, because your typical Indian cooking is a dash of this, a dash of that, and there's no exact measurement. So I thought, why not just do a blog where I'm using a lot of traditional recipes, my mom's or myself's, but give exact measurements and even simplify the process and then give that to the public to be able to enjoy it, because typical Indian food is it does take a long time to make. So the whole point is to, I guess, dumb it down, so to speak, and make it accessible to the everyday cook.
The butter chicken.
Yes.
How long did it take you to make that?
About 45 minutes.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
How about the lentils?
Finish. Half an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, and the lentils I make in the pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
So it's much easier.
Much easier. It's absolutely amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think the longest it took me was the roadie from rolling it out. And
you did that fresh?
I did.
Did you really?
I did.
Wow.
And that's something I actually know Chetna from our media dinner that we went to, mm-hmm. and she has taught me how to make roti.
Really? Yes.
So I got a lesson. So that's something else she does. She teaches cooking classes.
You teach cooking
as
well?
Can we do Indian barbecue?
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes. There's, tandoori chicken, kebabs, all that stuff you can put on the grill.
I love tandoori.
Tandoori paneer. There's a lot of different barbecue items. Paneer is almost like an Indian curd cheese. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had palak paneer? It's a spinach dish that has.
No, I'm not a spinach man. Sorry,
Chris.
Oh, you're
vegetable.
Not vegetarian. That's right.
No vegetables.
No,
we'll have to school you in vegetarian food now.
Well, okay. I'm open. What the hell?
So it's a milk cheese. Mm-hmm. If you put it in the refrigerator, it firms up, mm-hmm. almost like a mozzarella. And you can use that in any of your curries, or you can grill it, saute it, fry it, however you please. Yeah, you can use it as an appetizer.
And it holds up?
Yes, it does.
Wow, okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's very good.
So it's delicious.
Never had it. I'll try it.
And so what are the classes that you do teach?
So I teach Indian cooking, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And usually what I do is I'll do private or group lessons. I'll go to people's homes. For example, I just did a birthday party. Instead of a traditional birthday party, they wanted to do a cooking class for a birthday party. And so I'll go there, bring everything at the location. We'll cook. We'll eat together. And then everybody gets to go home with the recipes, any marinades. And it's just it's a lot of fun. We're able to accomplish two or three dishes in about an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Everybody out there better call her if you want something different to do for a party.
Yeah, and it's really fun because it's the whole point of the classes is to be able to teach people how to do Indian cooking in an everyday environment. Mm-hmm. And to take that intimidation factor out of trying something new as opposed to just...
Do you find that the people that come to your classes are a little bit intimidated?
They are.
Really?
They are. And I think a lot of it is they're just worried about time, mm-hmm. being able to make a proper meal for their family during the week or for a function. Mm-hmm. And then we're able to come to class and they learn that you can make a lot of marinades ahead of time. You can blend a lot of spices ahead of time and get things going.
Gotcha.
And where do you teach the classes?
Right now, I go to
where people
locations.
Can find you, so
yes.
they can call you and book.
Oh, sure. So they can go onto my blog. All my details are there: www.spiceculturblog.wordpress.com. Also, I'm on Facebook under Chetna Makwan, and Instagram under CM Spice Culture, and all the class details are under there as well.
That's great.
Oh, I'm good. Go ahead, continue.
You asked all my questions, Glenn.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
All right. I'm sorry.
So how did you get started with the blog?
I asked that already.
Oh.
Where have you been?
He was sleeping.
He was resting. He was in a food coma.
His eyes were closed.
I was eating
was
all
drooling.
I was eating all that food, and I figured I'd pull a Glenn this week. And,
what
is the most common dish that when you teach that people want to know how to make an Indian food?
A lot of, honestly, is butter chicken. Mm-hmm. They've had it at a lot of restaurants. Mm-hmm. And also a spinach dish called palak paneer. Mm-hmm. And spinach with
paneer.
I mentioned as well. Those are two main dishes. And I think a lot of it is just because they've tried those dishes at Indian restaurants, so they're requesting it at classes as well. And I'm trying to, I try to throw in a couple other dishes as well where we do Indian herb chicken. Mm-hmm. I did a bread class where we do roti as well.
Really? Wow.
And a couple other breads as well that are easy for people to make. So those are the main items.
So in 2 minutes, tell us quickly what your dream is to have a successful cooking show on a television network and what it would be about.
My dream is definitely to be able to have a...
Well, she'd have to have us
show.
In there.
Yes. I'd have you guys
That'd
come
be a nightmare.
My, right.
We'd all ask the same questions.
I think my point with the cooking show, which would be ideal in the future, is really just to be able to educate everybody that Indian food is delicious. It can be, you don't have to have meat. You don't miss that with the vegetarian spices and the seasonings. It's accessible at home. And it's just full of flavor. And you're able to make it at any time. Mm-hmm. There's no intimidation factor as well. And I guess just to expose the Indian culture, Indian food in general. I think a lot of people are afraid of trying something new.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a perfect venue to be able to do something like that.
Well, I think it's a great concept. obviously, the food that you brought into us is tremendous.
I appreciate that. Definitely. Thank you.
And I think that the television viewing audience would be in good hands having you be a host to show people, like you said, how hands-on and easy Indian cooking can be if you take your time and understand it.
Right. I agree.
So I want to thank you so much for coming in studio.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
And sharing all that. And why don't you give us your social medias or anything like that before we
Sure. So again, I'm on Facebook under Chetna Makwan. Also on Instagram under CM Spice Culture as well, where you can find all the class details and all of my food inspiration, so to speak.
Awesome. Well, Glenn, obviously we've been fed well.
Yes, we have.
So what goes good after a great meal?
Vegan ice cream.
Very tasty dessert.
Dessert.
Yes. God. And we have the perfect person online with us. We have Recent Herbs chairman Nick Yates, and they have a very interesting concept that I really, really liked. It's a new sort of frozen yogurt that's going to arrive at select grocery retailers in 16 U.S. states this spring, rolling out, and it's all served by robots. Glenn.
Beep, 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 beep. I hear them all. I hear the ads all the time.
Beep, 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 beep. So, Nick, how's it going tonight? And why don't you tell us a little bit about this concept? What, how it got started, and what it's all about?
All right, then. Well, first of all, it's going well. Thanks for asking. And we started developing these robotic vending kiosks, if you will, that dispense an assortment of frozen yogurts, ice cream, gelato, frozen ice, even acai, custard, a whole lot of different frozen consumables to customers and consumers in a variety of different locations, anything from movie cinemas to shopping malls to hospitals and colleges and universities, you name it. And it's all governed by a robotic arm that actually grabs the cup, produces, puts the cup underneath the soft serve unit, grabs a choice of 7 different flavors and 6 different toppings, and hands it to the customer within about 45 seconds. At the same time, there's a lot of bells and whistles going on in the background, some animation, some music, and a whole lot of stuff like that. And that's kind of what we do. We're about to start rolling out the first of about 1,600 of these robotic vending kiosks this month, and they're going to be everywhere soon.
Now, what's the reception been like? Obviously, I can see that children and younger kids, this probably has to be a thrilling treat for them. But how about on the flip side, the older market, say seniors or that segment? Do they say, "It's this? I remember back in the day we were hand scooping."
Yeah, okay.
So
can we get a robot to replace Derek, please?
Might be able to pronounce everyone's name correctly. So what has been the reception? Tell us about some of the interactions that you've seen with some of the customers.
For sure. So we've had about 12 Generation 1 kiosks or vending machines in the field for the last few years. And we've seen, obviously, an incredible reaction from it. It spurred us to redevelop the program, make it a little more savvy technically, and roll it out to this extent, because it's fairly large what we're doing. Funnily enough, last week we were presenting at CinemaCon, which is the largest movie cinema and theater show in the world, in Las Vegas. And we, as a team, sat back and watched the reaction from all adults and no kids. And one thing about ice cream and frozen yogurt is it puts smiles on faces. So we were we were fairly pleased to watch the reactions from an assortment of prospective customers, not just from here but all over the world. We were talking to people throughout Southeast Asia and the Asian Pacific, Europe, even Russia, some parts of South America, Australia, New Zealand, and everybody reacts the same way. Watching a robot produce a cup of coffee, hand it to you, is one thing, and tasting the product is another in itself. So
You are truly taking over the world. I think you just mentioned every country.
Yes.
obviously, with how popular this is and the logistic of putting this out, what are some of the roadblocks that you guys have? What's the most difficult part of running this program?
So we're a franchisor by nature. Our program is to sell these robots to entrepreneurs, and once we do, we're obligated contractually to find homes for them. So hypothetically, if you guys were in, where are you guys based right now?
Philadelphia. So you have a Philadelphia location at the Fresh Grocer.
But yeah, there you go. So we would, if you bought three robots, we would find three homes for them. It could be a hospital, it could be a college or a university, it could be a high school, it could be a movie cinema, it could be a grocery store, whatever it might be. We find those homes for the robots, we place them, we train you, we deliver and install the product, and then we supply you the consumables. We have a national distribution for a product called Dannon that you may have heard of, that supplies the ice cream and the frozen yogurt and so forth. The biggest challenge for us has been, and hence why it's taken us this long to get to this point, is developing the technology so that it's, you know, perfect. It's got to work every single time. It cannot drip. Toppings can't fall out of the cup. What the customer wants, they've got to get every time. We're vending a frozen consumable, which has never really been done before, and it's tricky. So, and we're also combining that with the element of robotics, which is also tricky. So we've spent pretty much, you know, 18 months perfecting the technology. We've had it stamped by the National Sanitation Foundation so that it's, you know, from a health perspective, ideal. And we're ready to rock and roll right now. But nothing like this is easy, so we've had a million challenges along the way.
Question. Now, you're franchising, correct?
That's right.
So franchise fees, costs, royalties, how much is a franchise fee?
So the minimum number of units that we sell is three. That's mm-hmm. $150,000.
Okay.
And out of that, you know, like I said, we hold the hand of the franchisee from the start. The moment they kind of call us all the way through until the end. There's a lot of third party and virtual support for this program.
Now, with the this sort of service, it's kind of like an entertainment based experience. I don't know if you know the Philadelphia area well, but in about an hour and a half, multiple locations, you have, of course, the Jersey Shore. The summertime's coming up. I think this would be a perfect fit on some of the Jersey Shore boardwalks.
Because
I think this would be an attraction all in itself when you're down at the beach, walking the boardwalk, and be able to see something like this.
Derek, you have a spare $150,000 laying around?
Sure.
Well, let's do it. Well,
there you go.
Yeah.
But do you see yourself more as an entertainment sort of niche, or do you see yourself as a premium yogurt server, or are you trying to say that we're doing both?
You know, really what we feel like we are, if anything, is we're disrupting, you know, the retail frozen yogurt and ice cream industry. The days of sort of having to invite the customer into your store and they weigh a cup of frozen yogurt, they take it to the counter, some little kid behind the counter, you know, sneezes on it and then hands it to you. That, as far as we're concerned, is over. So for us, we're in the business of disrupting. This is our first product and program. We're targeting frozen yogurt and ice cream retail. Shouldn't say it like that, but that's what we're doing. And we see it going everywhere. We have had a tremendous reaction to so many different categories of locations that want this. And we've also had an amazing reaction from so many different types of entrepreneurs that want to get involved in it. They see that it's time to disrupt the industry. This frozen yogurt business goes in cycles, and you know, we're hoping that this next cycle is the right one, and that's how it goes.
Do you charge the franchisees any royalties?
We do. We charge a 12% royalty, and that actually includes the debit and credit card transaction fees from the actual product. And you can pay for this using Apple Pay, Google Wallet, you know, cash, credit cards, even cryptocurrencies. Actually, you can even pay with your Bitcoin Cash or Litecoin from your Coinbase wallet. That we've kind of been working on a program to do that. So you can pay for the product in a variety of different ways. 12% is the royalty, and about 3 to 4% of that is merchant fee. So it ends up being about an 8% royalty to the franchisee.
I hear in Jersey, for example, I hear your ads all over the place on radio. Marketing campaign's pretty good, I got to tell you.
Good, thank you. Appreciate that.
The marketing team will get a bonus tomorrow morning.
I hear it all the time.
Now,
I know I'm not gonna play this to them.
Now, as far as you said that it's sort of the bells and whistles when you get served. Does that change? Is there, say, versions and software upgrades? If I go and get served today, 2 months down the line, will I have a different experience of like a video screen showing whatever the video is showing? Does it change, or will it always be the same?
Yeah, for the first 1,100 units that we've, you know, had commitments for that start to roll out, you know, literally in 2 weeks' time, nothing's going to change. We spent so much time making so many changes that, you know, at some point you have to pull the plug and say, okay, that's enough. Let's roll. And we have a really creative team that never wants to stop making changes, you could imagine. So right now we are rolling out with this particular unit. We have some ideas to upgrade the software and add a couple of, you know, like you said, bells and whistles to the product at a later stage. But for right now, we're very, very content with the program. We feel like we've catered to anything and everything. So, no.
Well, that's great. Well, as Glenn said, you have a fantastic marketing campaign.
Definitely.
Sounds like a great product. I think you're going to be pretty successful in disrupting the market.
Absolutely.
And we wish you the best of luck, and it was a pleasure talking to you. Recent Herbs Chairman Nick Yates, why don't you share us any social medias or anything like that before you go?
For sure. You can find more out about the franchise concept by visiting froyofranchise.com. And you can find us on all the different social media platforms by typing in Reese and Irvies, which is spelled R-E-I-S, and Irvies, R-I-R-Y-V-S. And, you know, we really appreciate being on the show. Thank you so much for having me as well.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Have a great night. So, Glenn, we had a fantastic meal.
Yes.
We had a little bit of dessert.
Yeah, how many times have you gone and had that?
What's that?
How many times have you had the frozen yogurt?
Hold on, let me count. None.
So we had a little bit of yogurt, and now we need a little something to settle us in and have a nightcap of sorts. And the perfect person online, I saw Taylor shudder over there, is Tim Herlihy, and he is the Tullamore Dew Ambassador for the United States, and they have a delicious new product that has just hit the market, but we'll let Tim talk about that. How's it going tonight, Tim?
Doing very well. I'm glad everyone's thirsty and ready to have their early nightcap.
Did did Derek get your name right?
Yeah, I know Hurley, he has a lot of extra letters, silent vowels in there. So Tim Hurley is how it's pronounced.
Look at that. See?
Didn't sound like that.
I just had a couple sips of Tullamore Dew, and it straightened this mouth right out.
Yeah, I can see your eyes glazed over.
So, Tim, why don't you tell us about this this new Irish whiskey that you guys are setting out, the latest innovation for Tullamore Dew.
Yeah, so this is Tullamore Dew Caribbean Rum Cask XO, so extra old. And what we do when we're creating our Irish whiskey, it's triple distilled, so it'll be smooth, it'll be friendly, and it'll always be awaiting a sip. And then we make it with three different styles of Irish whiskey. So grain whiskey gives you this light sweetness, malt Irish whiskey gives you this citrus, this fruit note. And then pot still Irish whiskey gives you this creamy mouth texture and bit of spice. But what we do with this whiskey is we mature it in different casks. So we take casks that have held bourbon, sherry, and then the Caribbean aspect of it is we'll take casks from the Caribbean that have held rum. And what it does is it gives you this wonderful rummy raisin notes, this kind of ripe banana. And it's just that Irish heart, Caribbean soul that comes along with it. So I hope you guys have a nice, healthy measure in front of you, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the bottle is beautiful. I love the antique Caribbean trade maps and the passport stamps and the travel journals around the bottle. And see, Taylor's holding the bottle up right now, showing everyone. And
It's
perfect for not only a party, but I like the way that the layout is. It's a fantastic gift as well to just be able to hand someone that.
Yeah.
It looks high quality, and I would be thrilled to have someone give.
Well,
that
you're
to
not
me.
High quality, so I think you would.
Oh, so well, all I have to do is start drinking more Tullamore Dew, and I'll become more high quality, Glenn.
No.
How did the idea come to make this a part of the product line instead of a special?
Yeah, it's kind of a celebration of two different types of island life, and being from Ireland, that's a very different island life to the tropics of the Caribbean. So, oddly enough, Ireland and the Caribbean share a bit of an immigrant past. A lot of the Irish would have went to the Caribbean initially as slaves when we were under rule by Great Britain. And if you go to places like Jamaica, if you go to probably most famously Montserrat, you'll see the Irish influence in the Caribbean. So much so that the only nation outside of Ireland to celebrate St. Patrick's Day as a national holiday is Montserrat in the Caribbean. So we have this less than obvious link. We wanted to tell that link, that story, by kind of blending the two together and celebrating the liquid aspect of that blend with Irish whiskey and Caribbean rum influence on our Irish whiskey when we matured in their casks. So that's how it came about, kind of a new way of making the whiskey, but an old story that had kind of gotten a little bit forgotten.
And I also see with this, too, I think this would be, going back to what we were talking about in our last call about the Jersey Shore opening and the summertime coming, is I think maybe some, like, drink-making competitions along some nightclubs and bars along the shore areas with the summer coming.
Good idea.
This would be a great sort of product to set out to beachgoers to have a great beach experience with a sort of drink experiment coming along. Do you guys have any plans for that, or how do you push out to bartenders and even the home drinker to say, hey, you can make XYZ kind of drinks with this new product of ours?
Yeah, you can enjoy it neat. You can have it on the rocks. I like playing around with different, what you'd have as traditional Caribbean drinks. So whether it's an Irish whiskey pina colada, or probably my favorite at the moment, it's pretty simple to make. I call it the Many Waters, and it's Tullamore Dew Caribbean rum cask, and it's with coconut water, some sugar and Angostura bitters, and you mix it all in, you build it as a drink, and it's refreshing, thirst quenching, but packed full of flavor.
Sounds like you win the drink competition, yeah. My friend, you should enter.
Yeah.
So for you, I know it's difficult.
Well, I need to give you boys a toast.
for you, I know it's difficult because I know each product is probably like one of your own children, and it's always hard to pick your favorite child. But what is your favorite version of Tullamore Dew? Is it the original, the 12-year-old special reserve, the single malt?
Good question.
Well, it's the one I have in front of me right now. It is the
original. So, it's whatever he has in front of him.
He's drinking on the radio.
Yeah. What's your favorite whiskey? Some people say their last. I like to be more optimistic. My next one.
There you go.
That's good.
So my next one to toast and enjoy with you is our Tullamore Dew original, which gets its name from the town of Tullamore, which is right in the center of Ireland. If anything. Your listeners coming to Ireland, please visit us. And it's also named after Daniel Edmund Wentz's initials to every bottle of whiskey we have. So that's where the D comes from. And it's my favorite because it's the first whiskey I really, really got to know and enjoy. But it's smooth, it's friendly, but it's got a lot of complexity too. So that is my favorite. That is the one I'll be toasting you with.
sounds like you toasted already.
And cheers to you as well, pal. And it was a pleasure having you online with us. Tim Herlahy, the ambassador of Tullamore Dew. Thank you so much for calling in. Why don't you give any social medias or anything like that before you go?
Yeah, it's at Tullamore Tim on Instagram, and I'll give you a bit of a rhyme and a toast to close it all out. This is, here's to cheating, stealing, fighting and drinking. This is, if you cheat, may you cheat death. If you steal, may you steal a heart. If you fight, may you fight from one another. And if you drink, drink plenty with me.
There you go.
That's very good.
And make sure it's Tullamore Dew while you're doing the drinking.
Very good.
Have a great
night. Take care.
Brilliant.
Thanks. Cheers.
Well,
thank you.
You did get his name wrong, by the way.
No, I didn't.
Yes, he did. It was Herlahy.
No, it wasn't.
It was Herlahy. He said it.
Well, hopefully our next guest, I will get the name correct. We have Siri.
I'm betting no.
Siri Daly online with us.
She got it wrong already.
You throw me off, Glenn. And she has a food blog, Seriously Delicious. Hello there.
Hello.
And she is the Today Show's food contributor. But more importantly, she is the author of a new cookbook called Seriously Delicious, 100 Nutritious and Not So Nutritious Simple Recipes for the Real Home Cook. And I have to say, Siri, I love this book. Just the layout, the pictures, everything involved in it. How did it come about?
Oh, thanks so much. You know, it was a long process, and I write a food blog that's about 8 years old, so it kind of felt like, you know, the next step in my culinary food writing process. But yeah, you know, it's just like, I have three kids, I'm a busy mom, and I wanted to write a book that, you know, that busy people in general just could really relate to, and not only find like simple, approachable recipes that they can feed themselves and their families, but also that was just kind of fun to read. So I, you know, I share with every recipe kind of like my hits and my failures, and it's like my whole thing, and pardon the pun, is to not take cooking so seriously.
And I agree with that, because some people, they take cooking so seriously and so to the extreme, it becomes tedious, and then they don't want to. And then next thing you know, they're buying everything in the frozen food aisle because they just want it to be cooked in 15 seconds. But what you've done with this book is you're sharing 100 easy to follow recipes that are created with three goals in mind. You wanted to make food that is delicious and satisfying for both kids and adults, and to prepare dishes packed with traditionally comforting flavors and ingredients, and make each recipe approachable even for a novice cook. This way, if you don't know a lot, it can just dive right in. Now, you did say that you have three kids. I want to know, how did you find out if your kids like one of the recipes? Has Carson taken the chairs from The Voice, and do they hit the button and spin around if they like the recipe or not?
That would be amazing. Yeah, no. They just sit at the table and refuse to eat. Yeah. No, they're, you know, I have two picky eaters, and then I have one that's kind of like getting there, and he's my oldest. He's actually trying things. So it's definitely a process of like figuring out, okay, like, I mean, nobody likes to be the short order cook. Nobody wants to make like eight meals a night. So I tried to find recipes that for my family would work for my picky eaters, you know, the one that's a little more adventurous, so that I could find like a little something from each recipe that, you know, they would all eat. And so, yeah, that was my goal, like adaptable recipes. And along, like throughout the book, you'll find little tips, like here's how to, you know, maybe tweak it so that you're feeding it for like a party, or here's how to tweak it for, you know, your picky eater. But yeah, it was definitely processed.
Yeah,
and I should get those chairs. That wouldn't that be great if that was around my kitchen table?
whenever you try out a new dish, that's the way to do it to see if it's really a hit or not.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Now, I think you would probably get all three chairs to turn around with a lot of these recipes, because I know they certainly had my mouth watering from caramelized Brussels sprouts grilled cheese.
Ooh.
That's... it's great.
Oh my gosh.
And I was looking at the buffalo meatballs, buffalo chicken meatballs.
That's what I was looking at.
Yeah.
Buffalo meatballs.
Buffalo chicken meatballs.
And the potato chips.
Yeah, buffalo.
Those look really good.
Right? Mm.
Yeah. And also, you have zucchini.
The bacon in the book this morning.
Oh, mm. That sounds so good. And then zucchini linguine.
Brown sugar peppered bacon.
Oh.
Mm.
Do you do takeout? I'll give you my address. I need some
ship
food.
It to us?
I'm hungry.
Yeah, right.
And also, peanut butter banana cream pie.
Oh,
how did you come up with all of these ideas and concepts for these recipes?
That for Carson. That one's all for Carson. Because I'm like the chocolate person in my house. I would just eat anything chocolate for anything about like the peanut butter like pie. So that was his. I mean, it's really every recipe was developed kind of because of family, friends. There's a story behind each one. So like my kids inspired me. My husband inspired me. Like other food bloggers, like it's just every recipe is definitely like a labor of love.
Now, also being a food blogger, we have Chetna in studio as well. She's a well-known South Jersey food blogger. What have you seen change in the food blogging hemisphere since you started your blog? Would you say it's more difficult to grab the audience with a food blog now with social media being so prevalent that they say that these kids these days have an attention span less than a fly? How do you keep the engagement going?
It is. It's definitely like it's tricky. When I started, I feel like it was sort of a blog was a new concept in general. And now, you know, it seems like every food blogger is a professional photographer. It's amazing. And so I just think that as long as, like, you know, there's a space for everyone, as long as you're organic and true to yourself and you're making something that, you know, that inspires you. But it's a crazy, you know, it's a crazy world, and there's so much to offer and so much to find. And now that I have three children, yeah, it's a full-time, you know, it's a career in itself, just that industry.
Oh, exactly.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean, that can take all your time all day, every day. And like you said, let alone you have three kids. I have one. I have one, and I can barely get anything done.
I have three kids, and I totally feel it in that. You want to create dishes that they're going to eat, and you can consistently cook.
Right.
And like you said, I don't want to be short order cook. I have three children myself.
Right.
And it's difficult.
Uh-huh, you know.
So you want to make food that's tasty.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, how exciting was it for the Today Show to say, hey, do you want to be a contributor with us?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, I still pinch myself every time I'm at the studio because I grew up, you know, watching that. I literally cannot believe it still to this day that I'm a part of it. But it's, you know, it's amazing and it's exciting. It's a rush to do that live television. I think I black out pretty much every time. So fast, and you're just like, what just happened? But it's so exciting. I love it. And everyone there they're like the nicest people, like from absolutely everyone, the crew to the talent. It's a family.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously,
not to mention my husband's there, so it actually is a family.
Yeah, exactly. Now, obviously, you know exactly what the heartbeat of the food culture is. You've got three children. You're trying to make sure that they eat healthy. You're a Today Show food contributor. You have an extremely popular blog, Seriously Delicious. What do you see as the next trend in food. Obviously, we're looking to get more local, more organic. We have Chef Christina Martin in here. She is a vegan chef expert. Do you see vegan becoming the next frontier, or vegetarian? It looks as though meat is going by the wayside. More vegetables, obviously. Everybody wants more vegetables. What do you personally envision in the next 5 years?
I mean, I'm not exactly sure if I know what it will look like, but it is really inspiring to see how kind of health conscious people have become, and how we're looking at processed foods, and we're really like taking a closer look at the things we eat, the things we feed our children, everything from, you know, like sugar to gluten to meat, like you said. So, I mean, I hope we grow in that trend with, you know, with everything from restaurants to fast food. I think that hopefully, you know, we're going in the right direction and going to, you know, treat our bodies better
And I would agree wholeheartedly. And I think what you've done with your book, Seriously Delicious, is I think a lot of times we were getting stuck in ruts because children were picky eaters. And we were like, oh, you know what? Just throw them some processed stuff.
Right.
Make it quick because they're not going to eat it anyway.
Fingers and french fries.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
that's exactly right.
And what you've done with your book for 100 recipes that, hey, the kids are going to like it, the adults are going to like it, and you're going to be better off and more healthy than we were in the past. I really thank you, and it was a pleasure talking to you, and we hope you the best of luck.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, anytime.
No problem. We wish you the best of luck in the future, and if you want to share any social medias or anything like that before you go.
Oh, yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Seriously Delicious, same with Twitter, and what else? I don't even know. Facebook, all the things.
There you go.
And
you'll have to call us back if Carson gets the chairs in the kitchen and tell us how's it going.
I'll send you guys a picture.
Have a great night.
Take care.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I want to know who took the pictures in the book.
Well, I'm sure that there's a photo credit in the
Yeah, I haven't... Pictures are great.
Oh yeah,
really.
The cookbook's fantastic. And what about you, Chef Christine?
I think you hit it right. I think that the trend now is for not so much vegan, vegetarian, or a name, as that people want to eat healthy things for their body. Yesterday, I was at a farmer's market down in Linwood, and people were coming up and asking, "I have diabetes," and telling me they have different ailments or whatever health. And they're looking at food in a whole new way. It's not whether is the food healthy for me, but I have this condition, and so what is the best thing for me to eat?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just the way it's going. And we also have joining us, we're thrilled to welcome Justin Chappelle. And he has a brand new book called Just Cook It, 145 built to be easy recipes that are totally delicious. And he is also the culinary director of Food and Wine. How's it going tonight, Justin?
Hi, it's going great. Thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for talking to us. And we did forget to mention you also have a very entertaining video series called Mad Genius Tips. And I have to say, they are not only mad genius tips, they're madly entertaining as well. I thoroughly enjoy that video series. So tell us how the cookbook came about and what it's all about.
So, you know, I've been at Food and Wine now for over 8 years, and kind of along the way, I've learned what I like to call the secrets of the trade or tricks of the trade. And so when I was thinking about writing a second book, because this is actually my second cookbook, I was thinking, you know, what would be really great would be to offer some of the tricks that I've kind of learned along the way and kind of pair it with the way I think people prefer to cook at home, which is kind of how I did growing up, which is, you know, simple, easy. And that's kind of how it all started, and that was a year ago. So it's really exciting to finally see it come to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly. We just had Siri Daly online, and she was mentioning the same thing, that we're moving into more of a society where we have family and we have a lot of hungry mouths to feed. We don't want to have processed foods, but at the same time, we have the ability with cookbooks like yours, like Just Cook It, to create incredible, straightforward meals using minimal ingredients that don't take a lot of time. And with these minimal ingredients, ingredients. They can be basic, and you can elevate them and create impressive dishes that are achievable without any fuss or muss. So, congratulations to you.
Definitely, definitely.
Thanks so much. Yeah. And that's what it's all about is, you know, simple home cooking that is approachable and that makes cooking really fun again.
Now, obviously, a lot of these are mouthwatering, like the ravioli lasagna with arugula, the new school beef bourguignon, and stovetops. I tried.
You're butchering everything.
I'm butchering everything. And stovetop mac and cheese with bacon, breadcrumbs. See, bacon, Glenn. Everything's better with
bacon. Bacon is its own food group. Okay? Just so you know.
Right? So what is your favorite
stole my question.
Recipe. Oh, you got to act quick here, Glenn.
I put my hand up.
Yeah, you have to be really quick. We have to need a little buzzer.
Jeopardy.
I was looking at that couscous paella. Looked really good.
So what's your favorite recipe, Justin? You got to pick one.
Well, you know, the one that I think is probably my favorite, and it's going to be a little probably weird for some people, is my crab and grapefruit salad. And when I say crab, I actually mean crab with a K. Because I actually love imitation crab, and I know that's kind of a crazy thing, but I know there's like this weird cult following out there of people who like it as much as me, and I love it because it's just a really, really simple recipe with just some grapefruit, some avocado, some crab with a K, and a really simple chive dressing. So it's probably my favorite recipe.
There's nothing wrong with that. The imitation crab meat's great.
Yeah, it's delicious. And it's made from fish, and yep. I don't think a lot of people realize that. But.
Yep,
a
couple different kinds of fish, absolutely.
Yeah, and also, not only with your book, but on your video series, Mad Genius Tips, you teach oddball and genius cooking hacks. Tell us about some of these oddball hacks that maybe Glenn can use at Fat Jack's Barbecue.
They will be on the menu tomorrow, I can promise you that.
Along with imitation crab.
Imitation crab.
I started Mad Genius Tips like 6 years ago. It's a really fun video series with cooking hacks that are all about making things a lot easier in the kitchen. And I've actually incorporated some really smart ones. In my book, I don't necessarily call them hacks. In my new book, Just Cook It, I call them expert tips. But
they're really hacks.
Some of the things, yeah, but they're really hacks. And some of them are like, for example, I use a lot of fresh corn throughout the book, and one of the things I like to do is cut it off the cob. So I take a smaller bowl and I invert it into a larger bowl, and then I put the corn on top of the smaller bowl, and then that way I can kind of cut down with a knife, and all the kernels, rather than falling all over the place, they fall right into the bowl. And it's a really, really genius tip for anybody who ever uses fresh corn at home.
Good idea.
Yeah. And now, obviously, Food and Wine is an extremely respected name in food, and America knows it as a trusted resource. What's been either one of the funniest stories you have from being at Food and Wine, or one of the most surprising things that ever happened to you at Food and Wine?
Oh my gosh, that is a really, really hard question to ask. I think, well, I let me think about the funniest thing, but you know, the most surprising for me was, and this is kind of a really amazing moment in my life, but I was nominated for a James Beard Award for my video series, and that was just, I never thought that would ever happen.
Congratulations.
Yeah, good job.
It was really surprising. And when I heard the news, I was jumping all over the place, as you can imagine. But there's been a lot of funny things along the way. I think for one is I like to sing when I'm in the kitchen, and I've had a couple people record me while I was singing, and then kind of play it on social media, and I had no idea that was happening. So that was pretty hysterical for me.
Well, has any record companies reached out to
Derek? Sings in the shower.
That might be your next calling.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I'm actually gunning for a Broadway show. So let's hope that happens.
That would be good, and you could have the Broadway show while you sing, and you could also show some of your signature time-saving tips, tricks, and hacks, such as how to properly clean shrimp, how to make the fluffiest of white rice, and how to perfectly poach an egg. That would be an entertaining Broadway show.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it would.
And in my opinion, I think every person who comes to see the show should have a little taste of something as well.
That's right.
That is the way to go.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You can't have a Broadway show.
You'll be my producer, and we'll all be good.
It sounds like a plan. We're going to start working on this tomorrow.
I'm in. That's all I got to say.
Well, we thank you so very much for calling in, Justin. It's Just Cook It by Justin Chappelle. Why don't you give us any social medias or anything like that before you go?
Yeah, so you can follow me at Justin Chappelle, Chappelle. Justin is spelled traditionally, and I appreciate being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Have a great night.
Wow. Nice. He looks a lot younger on the cover of that.
Than he sounds?
Than
his resume.
he is a mad genius. That is his video series. If you've never seen it, you definitely have to check it
out. What's it
called? Mad Genius.
Okay.
It's Mad Genius Tips. It's a video series by Food and Wine, and it's very entertaining.
I do want to take a look at it.
Yeah.
Because I need to be entertained.
It's on the computer or on Netflix?
No, it's on the internet.
Okay.
I mean, maybe it is on Netflix. So now that I don't know if it's on Netflix. I haven't checked it on Netflix. I've personally seen
Well, that's your job for next week. I check it on Netflix.
I can't do any. Obviously, you see that we get lots and lots of research, and I still can't pronounce.
I see that. you can't. You got what did he get wrong this time? He got another name wrong, didn't he?
Well, I got his name wrong too. Because I said Justin Chappelle when we ended. He said Justin Chappell.
So you're like, but he was batting 1,000.
But he was kind, like John Howard.
He didn't correct you. That's good. That's good etiquette.
It's best not to correct me because it could be an hour of me just
honestly.
So you got my name right, and you got this poor guy's name wrong. Yeah.
I'm surprised he gets his own name right.
If he would have sent food, I would have made sure.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We've been together, almost 2 years?
Oh, me and you, Glenn.
I know. It's great, isn't it? Oh, my God.
I remember every second.
Yes, I'll bet you do.
Like it was my first.
Yeah, it probably was. But
you haven't said Fat Jack's in a while either.
Fat Jack's Barbecue.
Oh, no, don't get him started.
Hold it. Thank you, Christine. Thank you.
Very
no, I do have
good. Something.
I do have an announcement to make, okay? And it's a very sad one.
Oh, no.
We do not have Fat Jack's Elkins Park anymore. We sold it. So,
but you're in New York.
What's it?
But you're in New York now.
Yeah. So what?
That's good.
Yeah. No, we, you know, we've been back and forth and back and forth, and last day of operation was Friday. So new guys are taking over as of the 1st. So whoever's out there, I don't know what the name is going to be. I'll be honest with you, but give them some support, okay? If you're listening and you happen to be around the Elkins Park area.
There you go. And you also have Fat Jack's Chicken.
We have
biscuits,
Fat Jack's Chicken and
Biscuits.
Which
we still have not received any.
Yeah, I like some biscuits.
Yeah.
Are they vegan?
I want to try samples. I brought you my Indian food. Yeah. I want to try the
barbecue.
Well,
let's take a ride. You want to take a ride?
They have streets named after you, Glenn. One way.
Yeah, you know, Derek.
Jerry Seinfeld, I am.
Yeah. Well, no, you're not. Do you think you're funny?
Just looking.
No, I'm serious. Have you ever thought of going into stand-up comedy?
I did it a couple times with Jackie, and you see that I don't do it anymore.
Okay, just don't do it anymore, all right?
I'm smart enough to realize it.
That would be Jackie Martling, right? Yeah. You're no match. Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, I won't do that anymore, but...
He's trying to distract us because we're asking for biscuits.
Yeah.
I have some in my pocket. Would you like them?
I want some good barbecue. I haven't had good barbecue in a while.
Well, then you need to go to...
Oh, Lord, don't get him started.
Well, now that you mentioned it...
But I want to say that this show went off as a thrilling success because of Chef Chris. It was all because of Chef Chris.
Yeah, hey.
And
you know why?
Well,
because he didn't say a word.
Well, he didn't want to sit next to a microphone, so
that's
we're...
Okay. Well, he was busy writing. What are you writing, by the way?
He's taking notes.
Work?
Yeah.
Recipes? What's that?
Taking notes.
He's writing menus.
Cool.
He's works at Borgata in Atlantic City.
I think we should go...
A busy season?
I think we should go down to Borgata and ask for Chef Chris and hit the buffets and whatever.
You can get us in if you're a high roller. I can't get in there.
High roller. What I do is, legitimately, I go down to the casino, I walk up to the cashier, I hand them $500, and I leave, because I'm going to lose anyway. So, that's it.
Yeah, but you at least get a free night stay if you spend that much.
What, 500 bucks?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was an entertaining show, Glenn.
Yes, it was.
It was. It was jam-packed.
And by the way, it was. And by the way, you're batting 1,000 on getting names wrong. Just so you know. Okay, just wanted you to know.
I got to be good at something.
And you're very good at that. Really, you're very good.
So we had Recent Irv's.
It's Recent Irvies.
Irvies.
You got that one wrong too.
Chairman Nick Yates. They sell yogurt with robots.
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Now, can the robot wash its hands?
Hopefully it wipes.
Maybe they wear gloves.
Tim Herlihy.
It's Herlihy.
Herlihy. Tala Mardur. Do.
And he got the name of liquor right, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Siri Daly. And we also had Justin Chappell. And we also had Katie, Chef Katie Lee. And
you got
Chef
that one right.
Barbie Marshall. And in guests.
In studio.
In
studio, we have Chef God. Christina Martin and Chetna Makwan.
Do one of you guys want to replace him? Really? I mean, anybody?
You'll have a lot of guest hosts coming up, Glenn.
Yeah, I know. Thank you very much.
A lot of free dates coming up in the future.
Yeah. I need free dates. What can I tell you?
Well, we're having all vegan shows
soon.
We're
going all...
Really?
We're going
yeah,
go
you're, me and you.
Around the room.
That's one fine. Last, I'll one, bring vegan ribs.
One last yeah. time.
Cauliflower? Barbecue cauliflower?
I can do that.
Okay.
Just tell me how you want.
And biscuits.
One last time around the room.
Derek, right, put your hands down.
There you go.
Okay, so we'll start with me. I'm Glenn Gross. I own Fat Jack's Barbecue, New York and Philly, and Fat Jack's Chicken and Biscuits, and fatjacks.net, Twitter, Instagram, all over. Kevin handles that, so I don't know what it is.
I am Chetna Makwan. I am a blogger at Spice Culture Blog for Indian catering, Indian cooking, Indian recipes. So very happy to be here.
Social media.
And we're happy to have you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yes.
Social media, Instagram, I'm at CM Spice Culture, and also Facebook under Chetna Makwan with all their Indian foodspiration.
There you go.
Thank you so much for bringing all this delicious food.
Oh, you're very
I'm
welcome.
I'm Christina Martin from Cooking to Nourish. I will be in Burlington Agriculture Center this Saturday, May 5th, for the Garden Expo. And you'll find me at Linwood Farmers Market for the next two Saturdays. Hope to see you.
By the way, can I plug something real quick?
Of BlueJeanFood.com. Harry, 5 seconds.
Real quick. Next Sunday, Delaware Park, WIP has a taco cook-off. And it's Glenn McNally's. I'm there. Tons of tacos. It's free.
There you go.
Nice.
And we end the show like we always do with a joke of the week from the legendary joke teller,
Jackie the Joke Man Martlin.
Hi, I'm Jackie Martling, and this is Small Bites. A guy puts his father in a rest home. The first night during dinner, his father starts to lean to the left, and an attendant comes over and straightens him up. A little while later, his father starts to lean to the right. The attendant runs over and straightens him up again. Well, later on that night, the guy calls his father and says, "So how is it, Pop?" His father says, "Well, it's not too bad, sonny boy. Today I played badminton and went in the pool. And you know, the food's even pretty good. Yeah, it's kind of nice here. But you know, sonny boy, they won't let you fart."